It's time for BK's Bullet!
Hey there, folks. This is Brent Cassina back again with another special edition of BK's Bullets, talking video games and anything else that comes to mind. Back with my buddy Jim Afanis. Jim, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Brent. How are you?
Good, good, good. Okay. So what do you feel like talking about?
We should talk about Mark of the Assassin. Or Mark of the Ninja.
Mark of the Ninja, which I just played the first level.
Yeah, tell me what you think about it.
It was fun. It was fun. It's an Xbox Live Arcade game, for those of you who don't know. Not available on PlayStation, correct?
Nope.
Oh, that's what I got turned down.
Brent, we got to start over.
Uh-oh. Now we'll keep going.
Brent's getting on his phone talking to Mandy. Mandy. Hello. Mandy.
Hello.
I love you.
Okay, yeah. Mark of the Ninja. It was fun. I liked it.
It was a lot of fun to watch Brent play it for an hour and a half after we were having a lot.
I didn't play an hour and a half.
After we were having a lot of fun playing WWE 12 together, better, laughing and interacting together.
Better than fucking, Indiana Jones game you made me play for 2 seconds?
Spelunky.
Spelunky. That was awful.
Okay, so Spelunky, you need to give it another chance.
No. It doesn't follow two-player rules.
Two player rules.
Like Mario. You're playing Super Mario together with two player. The two players have to be on the same screen at the same time. You can't run past the screen and get killed. You have to move forward together. Also the same as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the time travel adventure, if you may recall the arcade games. X-Men Arcade.
Turtles in Time.
Turtles in Time, thank you very much. Any game like that. You gotta stay on the screen together. You can't run off the screen and get killed like I did and not be able to see what the fuck is happening.
It's a hard game.
So, lame number one. So, X-nay on that game.
You need to stay close to
the team.
That
game is lame. The end.
We're supposed to work as a team.
End of story.
You just decided that you needed to...
You beat me with your whip. I'm not playing as a team.
That was at the beginning.
Dumb.
I even carried your corpse to the end.
Good for you. It didn't bring me back alive, so that's why I said, fuck it, we're done with this crap.
You need to give those games a chance. Because last time we talked, you told me, or I was telling you about all the great things on Xbox Live Arcade. And you haven't played any of them. All you play is Hulu.
Okay, I played...
Aaron, this is what I know. I'm sitting there at home, waiting for my buddy Brent to come online. I'm jamming out to, like, one of 90 different Xbox games I own. So it's not like, oh, I don't have the same game you do. I'd go buy one if you didn't have it, by the way. So I come online, I'm like, hey, Brent's online. I'm like, sweet! I scroll over, Brent is watching Hulu Plus.
I didn't know you were waiting for me to come on. Half the time I'm on and I don't see that you're on, so I'm like, whatever. Or I'm doing something with Mandy. Too fucking bad.
The flurry of text when we got the Halo 4.
Too fucking bad.
We get the Halo 4. You're whining about having to buy a headset. Whining about having to buy a hard drive.
I did.
So we could play together. We played together for a day.
3 weeks.
Question mark.
3 weeks.
An hour.
More than an hour. There are times where we played for a couple hours. Two or three times total, max.
We were dominating on Capture the Flag. I'd drive the Warthog, you jump out, get the flag. We were owning everybody on the planet, and then... What? What happened?
Christmas happened, and they got new games. You got new games.
Oh, we did? Okay, good. That's a good segue. Why don't you tell me what you think about Assassin's Creed 3?
So I haven't played the entire story yet.
How much have you?
I have gotten to the point in the story where... I just finished the Boston Tea Party, and I played it probably about a third to a quarter
of the way.
Okay, what I didn't like was having to start as Haytham.
Why?
You start with this different character.
Why?
You don't get any. You get weapons or something like that. I think that should have been the tutorial. Or it kind of was a little bit of tutorial. So that was like two and a half hours, depending on how fastly you went to the mission stories. Then that story ends. I won't give away the twist. How about them apples? And then you go and play as young Connor.
And you got to do it all over again.
And you have to do not the same tutorial, but different tutorial. But you got to learn how to climb trees and hunt animals and... you know.
Okay, so now that
blah-bitty, blah-bitty, blah.
If there was no tutorial
six
in there.
6 hours of tutorial, basically, of playtime. Because it's slow. And like Assassin's Creed, lots of cut scenes. It's not just a pick-up-and-play game. And at the very beginning, they had you play as Desmond to get somewhere to teach you how to run and jump at the same time. So it was like three different tutorials to accomplish different things. It was like 6 hours of playtime, or 6 to 7 to 8, who knows, just depending on how much you explored, before you got Connor full-grown in his assassin's outfit, and then you're like moving the story along.
I didn't even think about it in the terms of more tutorial. I thought of it as like a story. I thought that you were playing. No. You're right. Now that you make the point, okay, because when you do start with Haytham, it is very tutorially based. Climb up the mast, teaching you how to play the optional board games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you use your like eagle vision or anything then, but just, you're right. Very basic controls. I took it as you were seeing Connor's life from the beginning too. I haven't beat the game either, but I assume the end.
They didn't show Connor's dad boning the wife. He just shows up, and then you're supposed to be like, oh yeah, that's your dad. Like, you know, I didn't see it from conception through birth.
You want to see penetrate Assassin's Creed?
I mean, I'm sure they got it in Grand Theft Auto, hot coffee mod, and all that nonsense.
What do you want to see him go on a date, listen to a bitch about?
They certainly didn't give the impression that there was any sex between those two characters, Connor's mom and the other guy.
Okay, I will agree because it was very, very quick how it happened, but. You're right, there is a lot of tutorial, and I did read a lot of reviews where people were talking about how directed it was. See, I read online, most people said it was like 3 hours of directed tutorial, but you're right, because
it was
a
long time.
There is multiple stuff, and I don't really know if it serves a purpose. Like, climbing the trees is pretty intuitive. I mean, if you know how to climb a building.
Okay, that's the other thing I don't really like about that game.
You like anything?
It's cool. No, I mean, I like Assassin's Creed and stuff like that.
Hater.
But I'm having a hard time. The tree thing, like, you got to climb. They're like, oh, you can climb trees now. So you're like, awesome. So you run up. So after I learned how to climb trees, after like when I'm exploring, I run up to a tree and I'm like, oh yeah, I want to climb it. Oh, but you can't because the branches are too high. Well, I'm a fucking Indian. I should be able to shimmy up, right? Wrong. You got to find a tree with little sticks at the side to make it like a ladder so you can do that animation and climb up the tree because you can't do it by yourself. Then the other thing.
You're right.
The tree limbs that you're on only lead you to certain places. Correct. So it's a path that's already predetermined unless you choose to jump off the tree, which happens to me a lot of times.
No, you're right.
Even when I'm trying to move along the path, half the time I'll get off 4 or 5 different times before I get to the end.
So just like the other Assassin's Creed games, you do run faster when you're on the ledges and climbing like that than just in a regular on-the-ground sprint. So I do try to find ways to make my route, you know, coincide. But you're right, it isn't. I mean, I don't know how they could have done that differently, but you're right. It is very guided. And there's a lot of trees that I find in me playing around, going through, because I went and did full exploration before I could play. I went and did, like, I found all the peg leg treasures. Mm-hmm. I found all the feathers.
I do that as I'm going along.
See, I typically just cleared just for, like, a week. I just stayed in the frontier, started hunting animals by zone, all that free play kind of stuff. And I found even just in me running around, I was hitting the same like major like highway of trees or whatever you want, like the major hub, over and over and over again, repeatedly.
Yeah, and it never changes.
It never
like,
changed
from game load to game load.
Right.
Which I think would have made it a lot more interesting if
the world changed every time.
Not the world changed, but like the trees, if they rotated out of different.
Yeah.
Like maybe the trees at this, when you loaded it this time, led you to this spot.
Okay.
And then the next time you played, maybe it led you to this spot, just to give you some variation of not necessarily like, oh, I know which tree to go to get to this tree, to get to that ledge,
yeah,
kind of thing.
I mean, some of the enjoyment to me of the feather challenges and the peg leg treasures were never on a tree, but the feather challenges, some of the enjoyment was figuring out how to get there based on trees. You have to sit there and look and you'd be on the ground and you'd like, okay, this tree goes here. And sometimes you're climbing, I don't know if the measurement in the game's meters or feet. You're climbing like 75 to 100 feet away.
It's meters, I think.
Meters. 75 meters away to come back to something because you have to climb over so many trees to get somewhere.
Go around the tree route.
And that part is kind of fun, but for just regular gameplay, once the novelty for me of like the first scene when you climb up the, when you get the very first feather in the tutorial for the first time.
Yeah.
the thrill of, like, wow, you climb up a tree and how he's, like, leaning up against the branches. And even some of the trees are, like, the synchronized points. That's kind of neat. But then, you're right, after, like, 10 minutes.
After that, it gets old.
It's really lame.
It's not that groundbreaking.
And the horse, you know, a lot of times you use the horse to go faster, but the horse gets really glitchy on the terrain.
Yeah.
He's constantly stopping and jittering, and you better just to huff everywhere or just fast travel. And at that point, you don't even, like, now that I've unlocked everything in the frontier, there's a couple homestead missions every now and then I get. I just totally bypass it. I don't even go there anymore.
The other thing that I don't like is selecting the tools and stuff like that. Like, you can choose which, like, in your loadout.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, Arkham City, where you just press the button and kind of select it, and it's all kind of around your D-pad.
Right.
You got to select and assign things to your D-pad. So, like, your horse whistle in Brotherhood was always one button. Mm-hmm. And you could always call the fucking horse no matter what, and it would be so quick. Now, if I'm doing other things, I got to go into the menu, select the horse whistle, and then, you know, assign it to a button and then use it later on.
Right.
And it's not as convenient as it was.
And how many times do you run into battle and you're like, oh, crap, I got a horse whistle.
And then the guy jumps on a horse and you're like, I'm going to chase the horse down and then stop.
Desync.
You know, yeah. Happens a lot.
Well, I think...
And then the other thing with me, too, in the trees, when you're in the city, like, I haven't gotten out of Boston yet, so I don't know if this changes or not. But when you're running along, like, the houses and stuff, and there's your tree in the middle... The tree is absolutely useless to jump from house to house. Like, you can't jump into the tree and then jump from the tree to the house.
They're very certain. You're right. It goes back to the other point. There are places where you use the tree to climb up through to get to other houses, but a lot of times it's an entry point onto a house. It's like on the side of the house will be like a wheelbarrow or like a horse cart turned sideways, and that's like your entry point into the tree, into the roofs. But, yeah, you're right. It is. There's a lot of, like, predetermined stuff. And maybe if you're playing, like, because Assassin's Creed is so open world and you can go anywhere you want and you can do anything you want, I think it kind of loses some of it unless they made the game more linear somehow or something.
Well, I mean, like...
Once you do it once, it loses its excitement and everything.
The thing that I think could benefit from the trees, like, half the time I feel like I'm jumping off of a building into a tree when I'm in the city. And it's one of those V trees where you think you can go up somewhere, but really you can't because they're not that big.
Right.
I think if they just assigned it like that bottom of that V was a platform, just like if you were standing on a ledge.
Right.
You could jump onto that platform in the middle of the tree and then jump onto the next building and make it a lot easier. But half the time I jump into the tree and then I try to move out of it onto the next building or something like that. And then he just ends up just falling out of the tree. And I'm like, well, that's not what I wanted to do.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I don't know, I think it goes to the greater point that there's just so many parts of that game that I play that seem like cool ideas, and they suck. They're just executed so poorly. I don't know if it has to do with the fact that the plot's supposed to wrap up before the end of the buy-in calendar last year, and they felt they needed to get it out like a month beforehand or what, but that game feels so rushed to me. And it just seems like, especially after how polished Revelations was, I thought.
Yeah.
How great it was. And there were still, I mean,
that, an that open series world game. From 2 to Brotherhood to Revelations was, that's huge, a fantastic series.
Huge increases.
An improvement from game to game, but not so much where you thought the last game was terrible.
Right.
But that just made it more intuitive.
Right. And I don't understand why. Okay, they want to do something new and creative. I get it. But this is supposed to be like the culmination of like a good series. At least with Desmond's concern. Desmond's story is supposed to end. There probably will be an Assassin's Creed 4 or 5 or whatever, but it won't be with Desmond, from what I understand.
I could have waited 2 years or whatever
and
had the Revelations, because there's different studios that did Revelations in this one, right? Or something, Ubisoft North and South,
right?
Montreal or Toronto or something like that.
Yeah,
I could have waited a little while longer, maybe another year, had Assassin's Creed launch at the end of this to kind of knock out the end of this console system if we're getting new consoles later, and have, you know, the Revelations guys come in and combine all the things that were great, because you're still, even though you're not Ezio anymore, you know, there still shouldn't be this huge paradigm shift from game to game like there is with this one from Revelations to 3.
Yeah.
Which is another thing I don't like, is like, it's not really Assassin's Creed 3. It's really Assassin's Creed, like, motherfucking 5. You know, let's get real here. Holy shit. But yeah.
Well, I don't know. I guess I wish it would have been better. There are so many glitches that I found that just drive me bananas.
Oh, the other thing that was driving you nuts was when you're a little Indian boy, you still got your wrist blade animations.
Yes. I was going to say, so some of the bugs that I noticed that drive me absolutely crazy. When you first start off as little Indian boy, also known as Connor, by the way.
Well, young Connor. But you're in
your should be able to climb trees, according to Brent, because he's Indian. When you start killing animals early on, he jumps down and he uses his hidden blade. But he doesn't even have a hidden blade. He's still just got a dagger at that point, a dagger. And I don't even know if you have a tomahawk yet when you're very young. So it looks, the game just, there's so many, they probably made the animation where you'd like jump down and you stab someone in the neck. And then they just said, oh, well, we're going to have young Connor doing it. So they put it down, but they never gave the back thought that, wait a minute, he's killing something without a wrist blade. Or he's killing something with a wrist blade, but he doesn't even have one. That drove me bananas. Another thing that drives me bananas is how anal the guards are about getting on the roofs.
Yeah.
It totally makes roof climbing. I mean, you
can't escape on a roof anymore.
You climb up on a roof. First of all, guard's going to see you instantly. As soon as he sees you, it's going to probably take you 500 meters in about 10 minutes to run away to get somewhere where the guard doesn't see
you. There's no jumping to like two other roofs or four and then jumping into whatever's they
come,
on top.
The guards
anymore.
Come from everywhere. You can't get away. The hiding spots are really bad. You do leaps of faith into things, and it's really difficult to find somewhere to hide.
Most of the time, you just kind of run along the streets as far as you can without alerting any other guards. Or even if you jump into the water, that's not an instant.
No.
You know, they'll come and peer over the edge. Even if you're 200 meters out in the ocean, in the harbor, they'll still see you and go, oh, he's over there. And like more guards and more guards. And then, you know, goes from there. The other thing that I'm having difficulty with, that there's no armor. Right, we were talking about this at work sometime.
Yeah.
Where you can upgrade your weapons, and I bought better weapons, but I'm still having a hard time in combat because any guard that I come up with has a musket with a bayonet on it. Rarely ever are we going sword to sword or anything like that. So I'm kind of like, why am I using a hatchet or wrist blades or some fancy sword I bought if half the time they're just knocking me with their muskets and they're such long weapons most of the time that I'm getting my ass kicked. And there's no armor to upgrade to buy that I haven't encountered yet to make you stronger health-wise. So I'm constantly like having trouble winning battles when, you know, most of the time in the other games you would have difficulty and there would be some skill, but it wouldn't be as difficult as it is. Like half the time I run away from battles because I know I'm going to get my ass kicked.
I do, yeah. I disagreed with you about the armor stuff, but as you were talking, I was thinking that it really does hinder your character progression.
It does.
Because you do, I mean, I'm a little different than you. I like the new combat system. I don't know if I'm a big fan of not having health potions and just pretty much infinite health. If you can parry long enough, you'll be fine. You'll eventually get life back slowly. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if you think about a young assassin and his adventures all the way through, and, you know, from beginning to end, I mean, Connor's going to be pretty much with the same non-armor as before. I haven't upgraded any of my weapons. I keep them all just a standard, whatever. I like the base tomahawk. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's like some better one. I did upgrade a two-handed axe, which is another gripe of mine, that it's slung from your left, like your belt on the left-hand side, and the axe blade goes through your left calf constantly. It's constantly glitching. Just like your crossbow. If you ever notice your bow, the string on your bow goes right through the center of your chest and comes out like by your tailbone or your butt. And it's just, there's some polish and it drives me nuts. But yeah, you're right about the armor. And I don't know. I like the game, I guess, because I'm an Assassin's Creed guy. And I just, I'm curious about the story. I do like Desmond. I care about what happens to him. But if this was like a brand new generational game that had never come out and this was just some new title and it wasn't a continuation of Assassin's Creed, I don't even know if I would have got it. And I think a lot of people who reviewed it, like the professional people who reviewed it, I think they were probably like, well, we're stuck with this. We got to see it through now.
Yeah, like I'm surprised. Like I went back and watched or read the IGN review.
Yeah,
and there's no mention of any of these, you know, issues in there. They're all raving about the tree climbing system and all this other shit, which I thought was going to be cool.
It's fun.
The way that they did it on their video review made it look like, oh, you can jump from this tree to that tree and do what you want until you're actually playing it and you're trying to get to a certain point and you know you can't get there through the trees. And I'm like, well, this doesn't help.
No, you're right. Just more polished would have helped this game a lot.
There was one, in the main wilderness area, the same area where your homestead is, one treasure, the frontier. I'm trying to get a peg leg trinket, like the one of the first four. Mm-hmm. And it's up on top. It's in the corner, like the top left corner of your map. And it's up on top of this huge cliff. So I'm going up to the cliff, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like looking at the cliff, and I'm looking at my mini map, going, okay, well, it should be up there, yep. You know, blah, blah, blah. There's only one way up that cliff. You can't, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, so, other things, you could go around them different ways, or they're not that hard to get to. There's only one way up that cliff, and I had to go on the wiki to look it up because I couldn't figure it out. Because it was that difficult for me to, like, get to. I was in the trees trying to get as high as I could in the trees, as close to the cliff, jump, maybe grab onto something, or jump and grab onto the cliff ledge. No, that wasn't allowed, because anytime I jumped, he jumped down rather than forward. So that's where I encountered the most issues with the trees, and was like, this is not as cool as it really could be. But I understand the limitations. I'm just like, well, you know, if you're not going to make it useful, then why bother to put it in at all?
Yeah, you're right. I guess it's just, yeah, a lot of those puzzles, they really made it with the set pattern that you have to go one way and do one certain set of motion or else.
Well, I liked that in the past games with the, you know, you're in the dungeons or the churches.
Yeah.
And you got to jump on, but that was pretty clear. There was no other way to get there, but it made it cool because you had to jump and grab this chandelier and your weight pulled something else, then activated two more things.
Yeah,
and
you're talking about...
jump around...
Yeah, the Romulus dungeons and all that. There was like six or seven of those that were really difficult. Some of them were timed. Some of them were just find your way out. It was never combat based. It was always.
But I liked those. But I feel like this tree thing is such a different animal from those.
I guess this genre. I guess climbing up the trees just loses the magnitude because I mean I even remember playing just boring old Assassin's Creed 2, not in Brotherhood, just plain old 2 and. A lot the way those buildings were set up with all the artwork and how you usually were inside the same building kind of circling up, when you started to get up really high, you could look down and see where you had started beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a sense of progression, like, man, I climbed up this cross, swung across this balcony, this chandelier. I mean, it was like a 20-minute like ordeal to get up to the top to do something, to find something, to open a window to get out or whatever.
It was long, it was exciting. And half the time, in like I know in Boston and probably the other cities, I know, don't you go to
You go to New York. You go to New York later.
There's no skyscrapers or anything for you to climb, so it's all you're doing is climbing church steeples.
Yeah.
So you know, the revolution idea is cool. However, I don't think it's the most exciting area to explore because there's not really any building over two stories other than a church steeple, and all the church steeples to me in Boston at least feel the same. Like, you know how you would climb, in one of the games, there's like this big tower. I don't know if it was, Revelations or Brotherhood. It was a big round tower. And there were different pathways, different stones that you could climb up.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them would be a dead end. Some of them would get you all the way around and to the top and stuff like that. All these things, you can climb any side of the church steeple because it's all the same and get all the way up, no problem in, you know, 30 seconds or less. Synchronize and then jump off, and it's like it loses the effect of the
absolutely
of the climbing aspect of
a lot of those towers too. There are multiple entry points. There were like three or four different buildings you could make an attack from.
Right,
you could jump across the street and try to climb up that side, or sometimes there's just like a standard tower on the edge of a building.
I remember in Rome trying to climb onto the Pantheon with the oval hole, and having a hard time getting onto the building to even climb on top of it.
Right.
So there's no,
well,
at least in Boston, there's very little challenge.
I'm not really sure why they even went with the whole revolution theme because you didn't get this far, so I won't give too much away. But the actual revolution of, between, you know, the States and Britain is really, really poorly executed. And I don't know if I never once felt like I was part of anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they do these cute little things where they're like, okay, when they're signing the Declaration of Independence, you're standing in the room watching. So that's kind of like a historical thing. You didn't write on it. So, okay, like Paul Revere's ride, you're riding the horse and Paul Revere's on the back,
mm-hmm.
shooting out, you know, shouting out, the British coming, you know.
You're not riding alongside him.
He's
riding bitch.
Right.
Basically.
Correct. So there's some like, okay, it's cool how it intersects history, but... As far as, like, being part of it, I mean, you get drawn into this because your little town, your little Wewok town is about to be blown up, and you're like, I'm going to, like, fight everybody. I don't want anyone coming near my village.
Right.
The next thing you know, you're out there in a battlefield giving orders repelling the British away is a patriot.
See, so I just had that cutscene before the before the tea party. Some guy from my village came and said, "Oh, this is under danger," or something like that. So I thought that was the next mission. So then I'm looking on my map, looking for the next objective point. And half the time, the next objective point doesn't take you to your objective. It takes you to the next section of the map. So you got to travel. What I don't like.
Oh, you got to quick travel.
Quick travel and travel through different sections of the map to the frontier. And then finally I get to Boston. And then it says objectives right here. And I'm like, well, you know,
yeah.
Just take me there if that's what he's going to do rather than waste time.
You could get on the boat and quick travel directly to Boston.
But I don't know. It doesn't say next objective is in Boston.
Right. Well, yeah, there's a lot of times that it is. I mean, we've gotten lazy as gamers in general. I told you I went back and I started playing the new Splinter. I said the new Splinter Cell, Double Agent.
Yeah.
Where there's no mini map markers. There's no mini map really what to speak of, and it's like go use that computer over there, and you got to figure out what the hell they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely have gotten spoiled as gamers, but I will say you are right. There are so many times in that game, for me as a perfectionist, a real achievement whore, wanting to get every achievement, wanting to get 100% syncs, where it'll say, execute this guy doing this or don't get the... There's a certain set of criteria you have to meet, and it's so vague. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Right. Like, I don't even understand, like... How do you even do this?
Well, I was on one of the peg leg missions, like the first fort that you go to.
Is that the one where you're chasing the guy?
You're not chasing the guy. Eventually, it goes on fire.
Oh, and you gotta
escape from the fire.
Is that without getting wet or while getting burned or something?
No, I think it's just like get out or something like that. But one of the things is like do a bunch of ledge takedowns, so that's pretty easy. But you come into a room basically before the place sets on fire. And then it goes to a cutscene and shows you there's a guard here, there's a guard that's right by the corner that you can kill really quickly.
Right.
And then there's two in the bottom of the room, so you're kind of on the upper level, and they're standing shoulder to shoulder looking at some map on a table. So I did 15 to 20 times that same area, restarting and restarting because it would desync because you couldn't get detected.
Trying to do a double execution.
Right. So I'm trying to do one. I'm trying to do a double execution, so the first easiest thing is to, sneak up behind him because you're not running or anything, so they don't hear you. And in Revelations and Brotherhood, once you get the two wrist blades, any two guys you were behind and you did an execution, it would do it automatically.
Right.
For whatever reason, in this room, I don't know how it is in other areas of the game.
It's the same.
The only way you could do a double execution was to jump from the ledge on top of him and get him that way. And I'm like, I shouldn't, you know, there's no freedom of kill there.
Right.
Because you can't get detected, you have to do this certain way. Well, it doesn't really give you, there's no, like, real easy way to go, let me try jumping from a ledge. Like, there's not a huge bar right above them where you're like, oh, that would be awesome if I jumped up there and jumped down, and then that's the way you do it.
Right.
It's kind of like you're jumping from the side on top of these guys, and it's not as cool. I'm not thinking like, oh, I'm going to go to the side and jump onto those guys. Those would be awesome. There's no variation or excitement in thinking about ways to kill people so far. I don't know if it comes in later.
Unfortunately, a lot of it's like that. And it seems like for every step forward they took 10 back. Like how fast you could... Although I think they did fix it in Revelations. When you're walking behind a guy and you want to whack him, you can stab him without stopping.
Yeah.
So you could just kind of
leave him there.
You could do that, and it seems like that animation's like much more polished than 3, especially like near a set of water. You could walk next to a guy and kind of like trip him, and he'll fall in the water, make a big scene. Mm-hmm. Nobody realizes you. It looks like you fell in. So there's some cool like stealthy kind of stuff in there, and then every time they do that, they turn around like you're saying and. There's something that seems so obvious, like, wow, there's two guys side by side. I will now jump down and double wrist blade assassinate them, and you cannot.
Yeah.
And the game seems very punishing on that, and it seems very limited on how they want you to do something, and it just goes with the trees. I don't know if it was a design decision they went with or if anyone thought about it, but, yeah, if you're playing through it, you know, and you're like, oh, you just jumped from the ledge. But if it's not intuitive or it's not clear enough to you, you're going to waste so much time.
Yeah, I wasted like at least an hour and a half on that section.
It's frustrating. It's I don't know. I feel as if this. I feel like trapped by this game. I will beat it. I will finish it.
But
I don't
want
to. I don't want to beat it. I don't want to. I mean, I'd rather just look online, but it's not as exciting.
I haven't played in 3 weeks, you know.
And you're not missing it.
I'm not missing it.
And when the new ones came out, that's all you did.
Yeah,
like, it was your life.
The other thing, this will be the last thing we talk about with this game because it feels like we're bitching, but we're just kind of talking about it. We talked about it multiple times. So we're bringing up stuff that we've talked about before, but, you know, we want you guys to hear our opinion, I guess, is the main thing. But stealing from people. When you're just walking along, in past games, you would just hold down the B button, walk fast, and if you bumped into somebody, ooh, there's $10, there's $15, oh, this guy's $25 because you're in the richer part of the city. Now, you got to walk behind and hold the button down and wait for your little counter to spin around before you actually steal a measly 10 or 8 pounds, or whatever. And I'm like, what the that pissed me off. That pissed me off. Because you used to be able to, you know, things got so expensive, weapons and armor got so expensive later on in the game that other than by playing the story missions, I mean, you could still amount like $1,000 in half an hour in just looting people. But the way this is, you got to walk behind them for so long, it's no longer just bumping into people. And, I mean, I kind of get the thing that, you know, pickpocketing somebody is a lot more complicated than just bumping into them, you know, and stealing their money.
Right.
But I don't think that in a game it makes it fun anymore. Like, they're not incentivizing you to be a troublemaker or anything like that. And then it seems like the other thing, too, was the, like, I'm not really digging the, like, not the notification system, the awareness or your...
Being detected
and stuff like that.
With the triangles.
It's not really clear. Not that. I mean, like, Your notoriety. I'm not really digging it this game. Whereas other games, you could see on the map where, you know, there's a poster here, and it was really easy to spot them and spot the guys.
Right.
Most times now, I can't find a poster because half the time there's some sparkly shit in front of it that I can't see. And then I just go up, and half the time I just go up and bribe a guy.
You almost have to, yeah.
Almost have to. And then the other thing, too, is most times when I bribe somebody, there's two of them standing in the same spot, and I'll pay both of them.
Oh, they're linked?
And they're like linked together. And I was only talking to the one, but anyway.
I guess the reason I'm so passionate about it is because I love, or, you know, I'm so upset. It's because I'm so passionate, and I really do like the game. I do like the idea. It was amazing when it came out. There's no game that's even close to what this game's done, in my opinion, as far as the free... I mean, you have Grand Theft Auto, you can run around, but you cannot climb on buildings. The amount of weapons you get, the amount of different places you can climb, the atmosphere is everything, and I just feel like they missed the mark on every single thing they did.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm hoping that...
And know, no review came out and complained about it, so they're
like
not...
false. It was false advertising.
Not really, you know, going to take notice of anything.
I think the Metascore is like 87 or 88. Everybody's like, you know, really, really high on it. And it does have its good points, but I think realistically on an IGN scale, I think this game's probably like a 5 or 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I would rate it lower.
Did you play any of the multiplayer?
I did. It's identical to the other one with the exception of this new mode called Wolfpack, which is kind of fun, where Wolfpack is you play with up to 4 people, and there's marks you got to kill on the map as fast as you can, and every time you kill a mark, if you do it undetected, you get certain modifiers, but it gives you more time, and it's how long till time runs out.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I'll run out of time because you're running all the way across the city trying to kill people,
mm-hmm.
but the other multiplayer is identical. The, you know, there's a circle on your character, and as the light gets more narrow, you're getting closer to your target. So you can tell if the guy's on the screen if you're looking at him, and based on line of sight, you can kind of guess who it is. But everyone, in the old ones, what everybody was doing was they're running around just whacking everybody, full blown jumping around, climbing around buildings like monkeys, one shotting everyone. And they said, hey, that's no fun. We're gonna assign a point value. So, like a reckless kill, like running across the roof, everyone's like, hey, what's this guy doing? He runs up to you and just like takes out a hammer and just like smashes you in the head in open sight. We're going to only give you like 100 points for that. But if you're super stealthy and you take your time and you're just one of the guys walking down the street and you just walk past somebody and blast them out of nothing, we'll give you like 1,000. So there's an incentive to be more stealthy than not. The problem is everybody plays like an animal. And they're never down on the ground as acting like normal people to right. get those stealthy kills.
Half the time they're on the ceiling.
So everyone's running around. So it's just, it's totally deteriorated. Probably mostly the player base's fault, not the game design. I think their design's solid. But everyone's running around like an animal, and the only way to get in the game is you got to climb up. And everyone just running around sprint, and you're just climbing around. And you know as well as I do, sometimes you jump and the game doesn't... You think you're doing one thing, and the right. game wants you to do something else. And
disconnects.
You totally blow it, and you jump off a building instead of turning to another
one. They need to put
one.
Some of those fucking annoying guards on the game in the multiplayer to chase after you and give away your position and make you, you know, be stealthy and
mostly
stuff.
Mostly just the Wolfpack thing, but that favors that style okay. of, like, run-and-gun type game.
I tried it with Brotherhood, and I liked it for a little bit, but I didn't get into enough of it where I was like... You know, I didn't play it at all with Revelations. I don't think I'll play it with this one.
Well, they had a perk system, you know, where they, you know, there's power ups and like you could like for 30 seconds you could totally change the way you look. So if somebody's searching for a certain player model, you could change it, or you could run twice as fast, or you could do there's all these little like trinkets and gadget type things where you can like make your character better, or whatever suits your game style. But for guys like me, I guess I'm more like a purist who would like to play the game the way it's meant to be played, like a really big game of cat and mouse. It cannot be played that way, and I don't play it at all.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
I say nay. I say nay on Assassin's Creed
3. Nay on Assassin's Creed 3.
Okay. Two thumbs way down.
Well, I want to talk about Spec yeah. Ops, the line. I
Tell
got
me
that.
All about it.
I got that for Christmas.
Brent's love that he's already done
playing. I beat it. It was hard to put down. So basically the game is built off, you know, Unreal 3 engine. So, and it's kind of, I would equate it closer to Gears of War 3, but to where that you're not in as invincible as those guys are.
Right.
At least in like the normal mode. Like the normal mode, you could stand up and, you know, go run and shoot some guys and stuff like that. This one, if you're not really like behind cover or anything, you'll get your fucking ass kicked. But the story in this one is a lot better than, like, you know, the story of Gears of War 3 or whatever. I mean, it's purposeful, and you can kind of, like, make choices. They don't really change the way that the game does, like Walking Dead.
Right.
It's just the choices that you make just lead to callbacks later on once you get to the ending and kind of influence your decision of how you end the game. So you can pick your own ending, which was cool. But the other thing, too, that was neat to go to do was that I didn't have to see the other possibilities of the ending.
Right.
I could just load up the ending really quick, like the last chapter, and execute and, you know, pick different choices and see all the different variations. I didn't have to replay the whole thing, which I like. Other people may be like, well, that's cheap because, you know, you're not getting the whole experience.
Well, how
and blah,
influential
blah, blah.
Is the game's decisions if it's all hinged on one final decision at the end?
Well, it's all hinged on one final decision at the end. So, like, one of them, one decision was, like, there's bodies hanging from a bridge or something like that. Like, the whole game takes place in Dubai, United Emirates, Arab Emirates or something. So you're in the Middle East, you're in Dubai, you've never really seen this in a game before. So it's all, like, shiny windows and sand. There's places where you're indoors and there are windows and stuff and people are on windows shooting down ledges. You can shoot out the windows and have them fall. Maybe they're standing in front of a window that's got all sand behind it. You can shoot out that window and the sand will take out the entire room, you know, and they'll drown in the sand or something like that. That gameplay aspect is cool. But one of the decisions was like, they gave you a choice. Like, here's a soldier that turned on his people and shot, you know, civilians, or here's a civilian bank robber. So it's like, pick one to kill, you know, and so you pick one to kill, but at the end of the day, that doesn't change the way the story happens. There's a callback to it later when they're kind of recapping everything, right. And kind of the big twist at the end just shows you that, oh, maybe that guy wasn't a soldier, it was something else, and you thought it was.
Right.
So... not really not like Walking Dead where you can totally play a whole chapter without another character, but it's still a good story and is a great, you know, gameplay solid because, like I said, it's based off Gears of War, so there's really nothing new added to it, but solid enough to enjoy it if you enjoy Gears of War. So you can definitely borrow my copy. I say if people have Gamefly or whatever, definitely check it out, or if it's used for $20, it's a good buy. It's not like something that you're going to pick up and be like, this game's a piece of shit, and throw it back at and be like, damn it.
Not like Spelunky.
Not like Spelunky.
So if there was a game like Walking Dead or like this where your choices did matter and it was almost like five games in one, would you be willing to pay more for a game that really truly had a unique...
Like $100 for that game?
I don't know. I don't
like even four know. Discs or something?
Yeah, I'm not saying like four times a game, but let's say like you were saying about like Walking Dead, you know, like the first chapter in Walking Dead, at the, you know, you make a choice and it influences who stays alive and who's dead. As you play the game and beat it and go back and redo all the options, you realize that certain characters, no matter who they were going to die at like, certain points.
There's a thing in the first chapter where you can save either a girl or a guy because you're holed up in the pharmacy. I chose to save the girl, you chose to save the guy, and you said the guy dies anyway.
They die at the exact same point, regardless of who you choose.
Who you shoot at, basically.
So, but would you pay extra for a game where maybe saving the girl took you on a totally different path than the guy? It was like really, truly like three or four games in one.
I think that would be an interesting decision. Like, there were times in The Walking Dead and later chapters where you're telling these other characters... you know, go to the countryside or get a boat. Go to the countryside, get a boat.
Right.
I would think that, you know, that would be a decision. And you said you picked whatever one and then it says on top, you know, blank and blank will remember that. And I'm like, okay, well, how does that play in later? I was thinking maybe there was like a path later on in a different episode.
Right.
That, you know, based on what you said the last episode, they would go to the countryside and then still encounter maybe a dead end that gets them to the final destination.
Right.
Or the other way would be to get a boat, and then the boat breaks down or whatever. They pull into the final destination to make the game story, like, cohesive for them to do the next series and stuff like that. Because there's a firm ending in that game that you cannot avoid.
Yeah, correct. There's a lot of, I mean, a lot of those games, they all drop back to one point. I don't know. I mean, you want to have some sense of player choice in these games, if you want to. I mean, you could do a linear game where it's like, this is the dialogue, this is the cutscene, these huge explosive set pieces.
Arkham City was pretty linear.
Arkham City, I'm thinking like Call of Duty, it was like an amazing experience, but you had no choice whatsoever on it.
Right.
But let's say you did, and it really did. There really was true replayability. And I'm not talking like a different character. I'm talking like entire sections of maps, entire weapons, decisions at the end. Maybe you save the girl and I save the guy, and at the end of the game, our choices are totally different. We're in two totally different places.
I think that would be interesting. I think that's possible too for them to create at least two or three, you know, three different paths to tell their story and throw in different characters and, you know, different situations.
It'd be some good replayability.
It would be
the game that I think that kind of comes closest to that. And I know you're not a PlayStation guy. There's a PlayStation game called Heavy Rain, and you followed the lives of four people to solve this mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And at any point, any of those four people, based on your decisions, there were some dialogue and stuff, kind of similar to like Walking Dead.
Yeah.
But I'm talking more like solving mysteries in time or puzzles in time. That's kind of where the death kind of took over. But if any one of those four characters died, the other three would continue on. And just that, whatever revelation that character had to tell you, whatever story that guy had to tell you, was gone. And it would influence your final decision on like who done it, because you don't know his side. This one character might reveal some piece of information that was valuable to the end.
But he died before you got to that.
Correct.
Point.
And you could, and it would just you'd like, you know, play like guy 1, 2, 3, 4, then back to one, cycle through, and then at the end, as a player, you could put all the pieces together. The characters, some of them, their stories intertwined, some didn't. But it was up to you to determine who did it based on what you saw from their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of neat. That was a really unique experience. I don't know if it won Game of the Year, but it got very high ratings. It's a kind of a hidden title now. No one really talks about it anymore.
I heard about it, but I didn't know that it was a PS
amazing
exclusive.
Game. Yeah, it was an amazing game. But I when I saw that, based on the success it had and based on the accolades it got, I had hoped that maybe some games would take that path, but it seems that that's a rare find anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like Spec Ops, if you're saying Walking Dead... But even then, it's kind of a GIMP version. Like, well, at the end, you can make 1,000 choices, but at the end...
It's the same.
Yep, you're going to be
get the same thing.
Right.
Well, I thought what was interesting was Walking Dead, at least in the last episode, Kenny, he's one of the main characters, goes a different way, and there's kind of a five-minute section of what's different than if you, you know, chose a different person. Like, I chose not to save somebody, and you did, and that person was absent the whole episode. which I liked, but like I'm not itching to go back and replay that choice mm-hmm. and have that person be there the whole episode just for that little 5 minute section.
So there are some
and like glimpses. Most of the dialogue in Walking Dead, like I didn't feel anything was missing because this person wasn't around to you know,
because
they never really had anything interesting to say at all, in my opinion. So that's why I didn't save him. I was like, see you later.
So there are some glimpses that maybe this will be a pattern that people,
yeah.
developers in the future will maybe consider.
I think so. I think as we get more space and as like maybe the next generation, the game, both systems have built-in Blu-ray players. And the machines are more powerful because Blu-ray stores more space. So I think if we get there and we can do multiple Blu-rays or something like that, or downloads, you know, bigger hard drives or something. I mean, I don't know how they're all designed, but I think that will influence the type of games we get.
True.
You know.
I think you're right.
So, but getting to Walking Dead, I thought that was a great game. I really enjoyed playing that.
That was my favorite game.
You played it on your PC. I played on my iPad. The graphics are the same. You know, I liked playing on the iPad because I guess in the console version, like if you're playing on Xbox, you got to move your cursor over different areas of the screen to select stuff. Correct. On my iPad, I could just press the button. I saw where all the buttons were. I pressed them. He walked over, examined it, or gave you a choice
of actions. So you didn't have to highlight if there was a hot area. You didn't have – it was already like, hey, a hot area is right here.
Right, right. So like in a room, I could be looking around – and then all the different buttons. So it'd be like, look at this chest of drawers, talk to this person. You know, there's a button on the chest, there's a button on the drawers, there's a button on the closet, there's a button on the door. And you just kind of point and, you know, press whichever one you wanted him to go to, and then he kind of moves along.
There might have been an option in the PC version that I turned off, but I had to actually scan the map with my mouse.
You did? Okay.
And there might have been an option to disable that, but I actually scanned to find the things I knew right away that I felt, oh, this is definitely important.
Right. But I like that because it made me feel more like Lee, because I was looking at the room and looking at all the options at the same time,
right?
As if I was in that room, and then all my options are there, rather than looking around and scanning and, you know, pressing one button to select or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that was a really good game, and I know that they're going to be coming out with a second series to it, or second chapter, or whatever you want to call it, which I'm hoping. The rumor is that it's going to... Some of your decisions do carry on, so I'm assuming at least some of the characters are the same in some capacity. So that'll be interesting to see what...
Well, I guess Clementine is the through line, at least. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know.
But my assumption is that she is the through line. I don't know that they could go, like, 20 years in the future and then have a grown-up Clementine and go from there. I think that would be interesting because at that point, you've moved past where the comic books are at, definitely, for sure.
Right.
And the comics have just kind of gotten to that point now where it's been like a year and a half, and they're kind of encountering a shortage of canned food and canned goods and stuff, so now they're going to have to be like hunting and growing their own food. They're going to become vegans like your in-law's family and stuff like that. God bless them. Feel sorry for those guys.
Well, they'd be fine then. Just eat lettuce and dirt.
I guess so. I guess. I don't know how, but I guess so.
Yeah,
maybe they'll encounter like a spam factory and just take all the spam.
That's right. Well, you got to think the power plants and stuff will at least run for a while, so you could still pump out some food for a little while at least.
Maybe.
Most zombies are like laying in the batter or something, then you're done. So I wanted to say too that totally different subject. Diablo 3 is not dead.
Diablo 3 is not dead.
That's official exclusive.
They added new...
When you go back and edit this, put in one of those like... an exclusive. A gym exclusive. Jim's Gems. Diablo 3 is very much alive.
Jim's Gems. We got a new segment. I like that.
Jim's Gems. Diablo 3 is very much alive. It's still incredibly fun. Fuck Jay Wilson. Fuck that loser for Jay Wilson.
Who's Jay Wilson?
He was the game director who...
Is that the guy that worked on 2 that shit on Diablo 3?
The guy who worked on 2 left. This guy David. I think David Brevik was his name. And Jay Wilson, who became the game director of 3, they interviewed the guy who made 2 and said, what would you change? And he had some very constructive feedback that most of the people felt about. Without getting too much in the weeds. But Diablo 2 is very, very, very much stat-based and skill tree you make a decision and you kind of have to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
Diablo 3, you could constantly reinvent yourself every day.
Mm-hmm.
So the replayability is definitely favoring 3, which goes back to my games are getting blazier. Because in 2, if you screwed up, you had to start over. But among other things, there were decisions that were based on gear you chose, based on how it affected your tree, how you built your character. A lot of different customization. I'm not going to say better. But Diablo 3 is very much what's the highest amount of damage you can do with a weapon, regardless of any other stat it has. If it does the most damage, that's what you want.
Uh-huh.
So the guy in 2 was making that interview, and Jay Wilson, the director of 3, read the interview, and he wrote, "Fuck that loser." Which is kind of funny because it's like without 2, 3 would be just a glimpse.
Well, the thing that I find funny about comparing Diablo 2 to Diablo 3 and even like StarCraft 2 to StarCraft 3, I played Diablo 2 in college because one of my roommates had it.
Yep.
And I watched that guy play StarCraft 2 to death.
Yep.
And I'm sure he's playing StarCraft 3 to death right now,
mm-hmm.
Even though they didn't release the whole game apparently, something like that. They only released one set of missions, not all 3.
Well, StarCraft and StarCraft 2, but yes.
No, StarCraft 3 was like one set of missions, and there wasn't the whole story.
Or like
and then the rest is coming later, just like StarCraft 3 was coming later for 10 years.
Chapters and Heart of the Storm.
Yeah, something like that. But I think it's funny to compare those games because they're like 2 generations apart.
It is StarCraft 2. It's StarCraft 2.
Whatever it is. You know what I meant.
I think it's
funny to compare Diablo 2 to Diablo 3 when they're light years.
No, you're right.
You know,
you're
there's
right.
a span you're of right. 10 years in between those two games.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's just funny the way that they're throwing stones at each other. It's like, well, stuff was definitely possible in the last generation that isn't possible now, well, and then vice versa.
I mean, graphics and technology are, you know, it's very different things. Obviously,
And the style of gameplay has changed in the last 10 years, too.
No, you're right. You're right. It's not like
the guy from Revelations from Assassin's Creed Revelations can look at Assassin's Creed 3 and go, oh, well, that's a better game or a worse game, or I would have done this differently because we have the same tools.
Mario was groundbreaking in this time.
Neither of those guys had the same tools to develop their game. So, to me, like, that criticism, not really valid. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, there's just a lot of stroking your e-peen, you know, ego kind of things. But I just want to say that Diablo is very much alive and well.
Very much alive.
And the people who enjoy it thoroughly enjoy it, and there's still enough people to make it a fun game.
Good.
You can still join and have fun and stuff.
Good.
Not like you would know about Halo because you never play. Halo's still alive despite the fact that
I'm gonna pick up the controller again and play Spartan Ops. That's the thing that's keeping me in.
I haven't even beaten the story in Halo yet.
I know you haven't.
I don't know.
Which you're probably going to have to restart again.
I know. Well, it's an okay story. I'm digging it. I don't know.
I like the story. There were some points where, like, you get in a ship, and, like, towards the end, and you're flying around in this ship, and you're like, it's not that difficult to do.
Right.
But at the same time, it's not that exciting because it's like a shooter on rails kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that stuff, I'm like, why did they throw this in at all?
Yeah.
I would have rather, you know, make a game that does that. That's cool. Make a game that...
Like Assassin's Creed with the boats.
Well, like we were in...
The naval missions in Assassin's Creed, which should be a standalone game, which is incredibly, amazingly fun.
I only did the training one. I didn't get any past that.
And it's amazing.
Okay. Cool.
Yes.
What was it? I'm excited about the new Injustice fighting game.
Yes, dude, that's the game of the year.
That looks really awesome.
I cannot wait.
We'll find out if the fighting game people like it. I liked DCU versus Mortal Kombat, but I'm not a fighting game diehard. And I guess there was a lot of criticism on that like the combos were gone. Obviously, the violence was gone because you're not going to have a DC game be rated mature. So there were no fatalities in that one.
So, like, even we were talking about this. Even, like, there's a preview. I'm a Deathstroke fanboy.
I don't know why.
He's amazing. Slade Wilson for president. 2016? Sure. He needs to be president. Deathstroke's amazing. He looks awesome. And in the hype up for Injustice, as if it needs any hype, because I'm a big nerd and I like this kind of stuff, they're releasing these gameplay trailers showing the characters and like a little 30-second highlight reel. They add in some CGI that's not in-game graphics. And in the Deathstroke trailer, it shows him fighting Green Arrow. And his final cutscene is he throws his sword up in the air and he comes down and like kicks it into Green Arrow's chest, and it looks as if Green Arrow dies.
Right. And I mean, how can you not die without having a sword in your chest?
Deathstroke does his typical, like, you know, contract, you know, Terminator or whatever, like his little catchphrase, whatever he's got. I couldn't tell you in the comic book because they change writers every goddamn week.
How do you keep liking that comic book then?
Because it's so awesome on its own. But
I can't wait till they cancel it. I'm going to have such joy when they do.
Anyway.
I'm going to run over to your cube and yell it down the hall. Before I even see your face, Deathstroke is canceled.
I just want to see Brent run. But anyways, but they show the scene where Deathstroke like kicks a sword into Green Lantern. I'm like, that's awesome. And you immediately turned to me and said, that's not going to be in the game. So you're right. I'm curious too. I don't know if the ratings come out. I don't know what they're allowed to show. I know there's so much scrutiny now with game ratings, although it's not going to, you know, the whole this violence thing. It's going to, I don't know how it's going to affect games in the future. I mean, the new mandates and stuff haven't come down, but you're right. I can't imagine Deathstroke cutting off, like, Batman's head or something.
No, that's not going to happen.
You're
no
not going to have any of those kind of fatality things.
No way.
But I'm curious how far they push the limit. I mean, are we all fighting, like, bare knuckle? I mean, Deathstroke is pretty famous for his sword and his guns. It's kind of his.
Well, I'm kind of thinking it's going to be similar to DCU versus Mortal Kombat.
I never played that. How do they handle them?
Pretty much, basically, there was some sort of like evil force or power up or miscommunication that everybody got possessed or something. There's some spirit or power that got put into everybody that gave Superman equal power as Scorpion or vice versa.
Okay.
So I'm sure that's going to come into play here, that there's some sort of like alien artifact, everybody touches it, or there's some like shockwave, and then boom, Batman's able to fight Solomon Grundy or fight Superman at the same time and not have his ass totally beaten and handed to him.
Not one shot.
Yeah.
Because then everybody would play Superman to win, right?
Right.
Unless it was a cloudy day. Then he got a chance.
You might have a shot.
Then you got a shot.
Or unless you're hooked up to the city's power grid and you can kind of push it all into your gauntlets.
Correct. Right.
So the Marvel MMO is coming out, apparently, free to play. I'm interested in playing that. It's similar to Diablo, I guess, most in play style.
Yes.
But they've come out and said you can download it free to play. All the content is available through in-game currency. Like, you can collect enough silver or gold, whatever their money is, and buy costumes and characters and stuff like that.
Or
microtransactions. Microtransactions. We can shell out money to get more in-game currency to buy those things. And that kind of intrigues me. But I'm kind of wondering how much they're going to hamper you on characters and costumes and power-ups to do all that.
I can give you an example of, you played it today, Forza Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact you paid for the game, there were a lot of microtransaction-y type. There's that kind of thing in the game, and they're shortcuts, but they're not necessarily required. Like, you want a treasure map to find where all the hidden things are at? You can find them on your own, or we could sell it to you for $5.
Not $5 of game currency that you got from winning prizes.
In your wallet.
For $5 of Microsoft points.
Yep.
Okay.
Like 500 micro, whatever it is, I don't know the conversion. So there's that kind of where you already bought the game and there's like cheats. Like today in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
For 80 points, you want to unlock the entire game? Fine. You don't want to get all the hidden characters? Here they are. So that you had that. Then I've also played DC Universe Online, which went free to play. That's heavily based on microtransactions.
Right. And to get past the normal game content to get all the expansions and stuff, you got to shell out money for that.
There's expansions you have to buy. By default, you have only like 2 character slots. You know, for another $5, you get more. Or your inventory is only 20 slots. We'll double it to 40 for $1. Or you want to dye your armor a different color, 50 cents, whatever. So there is that kind of stuff in there that you don't need it, but to really get the experience, you're going to end up paying close to what an MMO is maybe a slippery slope because it's subscription-based, but you're going to pay close to what you should have paid had you got the game if you want to unlock all the content.
Right. But what was interesting to me, though, is like all the content to like they had a pass where it was like $5, you get 4 characters and X amount of alternate costumes. There was one for like $60, which is like the normal game price for new games now, and you get, you know, 3 or 4 times more of the characters automatically to start with, and different costumes. And then there was a $120 package where he unlocks every character, all the different armor, and all their different, like, every alternate costume around. Which, I was like, wow, $120. I mean, I'm sure there are people who out there who will do that, but I'm just like, twice the game price? I mean, that... But I guess if you play an MMO for a year and spent $15 a month, you would probably, shell out that anyway.
That does get into a lot of these games. And the reason I like say Diablo's not dead, I looked at my Barbarian last night. I've logged 750 hours of my Barbarian. Wow. And I paid $60 one time. And I've never paid a cent, and I'll never pay a cent again. Mm-hmm. Unless an expansion comes out. So they lost their shirt on me. They could have probably charged me more, and I probably would have paid in some capacity. I don't know if I would have paid a subscription fee, but they definitely lost their shirt on me.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say that when you get into these...
That's only because Diablo has that you have to be connected to the internet requirement.
True.
If they didn't have that, then it wouldn't matter.
Maybe.
I think.
Maybe. I look at it more like how everything is now with like season passes. Like I bought the Gears of War season pass because I was a huge Gears head when it came out.
Right.
And I loved it. And season pass guarantees you like the next 4 DLCs at a 3 DLC price. So they already know they're coming out with more stuff they're going to give it to. So saying like the Marvel thing's going to cost double, you'd have to really look at what it's going to cost. And you really have to ask yourself, is it worth investing in? If you're going to buy it anyway, it's probably cheaper to buy it up front. I would assume that whatever they're selling you at this, I don't know what the pricing is. I haven't looked.
They haven't announced that.
You're
they
saying
just
it's
said,
double. So
they just said that these here are some options of things to start out with right away. I guess you could pre-order it now but I don't know. Like I don't know how much each character. Like there's a Marvel Facebook game that I play here at home, but it's really frustrating because. Like, they keep adding new characters. Like, they added in people I don't care about. But they'll add Rogue, and they'll add Beast. They added, and each time those guys were, like, 90 command points to get. And during the game, you don't get command points but at one or two times. You can't really get, 10, 15, 13, 20 command points at a time. Unless there's some like lottery system, but you can pay real money by gold and exchange gold for command points to unlock these new characters.
Right.
And now they're doing it where like they want you to play the PvP, so player versus player. But everybody's got all these souped up weapons because they're shelling out money for stuff. So if you're not trying to spend anything like I have, I've actually spent $40 on it. Don't tell my wife. Just to get command points.
I spent
they were each time they were having a gold sale, so you got $20 and you bought gold, and then I exchanged a certain amount of gold for command points to unlock certain characters and stuff like
that. Characters you don't care about?
Right. Well, no, like Wolverine is one that they want you to spend $90 on. And other characters that started with the game, like Human Torch is like $35.
Yeah, right.
He's not a lot, but all the popular ones are like Thor, Wolverine, Cap were $90. And then now they're starting to do this PvP tournament to where if you're in the top 2% of the PvP tournament, you get Deadpool, Cable. They had one for Psylocke, and the one going on right now is the Punisher. But you have to play all the freaking time to stay in that top 2%, and then there's an energy bar that goes down, so you can only play as long as you have energy, and you either wait time, like 6 hours for your energy bar to refill, or you shell out more money and buy more energy refills and stuff like that.
That sounds like...
So that's a game that can really get you.
Right. That sounds like a lot of the... there's a lot of pay to play. Pay to win, where it's like, hey, you can earn it yourself, or for $20... We'll give you the best gun of the game.
Well,
right,
I mean,
now.
The thing with this is that you can pay or not pay. You can play through the whole game. Like there's only 10 chapters with 6 missions each. You can play through that with the same amount of characters and level them up all the way, but it's not as cool as I want to try this guy's power because they all have different animations and stuff like that. But they keep adding new characters, and then every once in a while they'll have what they call like a spec ops. So they'll add 3 new missions, and if you complete these missions and research these items and do this list of tasks, it's like 25 lists long, you'll unlock this character. So like I got some magic is one I unlocked. I almost got Ghost Rider. I didn't get the last one. Was like
the Nicolas Cage version.
The female Thor, Valkyrie. She was kind of dumb, so I didn't do that one. But like some of them, just kind of like, okay, well, I'm gonna waste my time and energy on this rather than do that. So it's kind of weird. I'm hoping the Marvel is less of that and more of like, you know, you're playing the game, you're beating all these guys, and the more you play, the more in-game currency you get, and the more in-game currency you get, the more you can spend on unlocking new characters or costumes, rather than like this game on Facebook is almost forcing you to shell out money to get all these new characters, because there's no way, unless you wrote like a script or something like that,
right?
And you know, that moved your mouse and selected all these different things. Like, there's a way in the game you can send your characters on missions for a certain length of time, so you can send them out for like a day at the most, and that per mission a day gets more money. But if you sit in front of the computer and send, you know, your 10 characters on 10 missions at a time for 3 minutes and do it consecutively and doing it 24 hours a day, you'll rack up more money than you do if you just check in each day.
Right.
So unless you're doing that, it's difficult to... But even the other thing in that game too, like, you'll get silver as like an in-game currency. You could have $1 million of silver, but you can't trade silver for command points or anything like that. It only goes towards certain things.
Right. Yeah, they do.
So they still force you to buy other things to get the command points to unlock new characters. I'm hoping this new Marvel game isn't like that at all. That there's one fucking currency and you only need one thing of amount of money to unlock stuff.
If it's free to play, it probably will be multiple currencies, very similar to Tribes Ascension, where you have points you earn on your own and then there's like magic points that you buy. Or Forza has like money and then they have like car tokens, which you have to buy.
Right.
And they always, it seems to me that as more games go free to play, they have to find a way to make money. So they're gonna make money somehow. I mean, basically, it's this Marvel game you're talking about online. They could have charged you pretty much standard price, maybe like $39.99, right, and you would have bought it.
Right.
Because you pretty much paid that money now already.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gonna get, if you're hooked, they're gonna get you regardless. It's just kind of a, if people see free to play, it's like, oh, free to play, it doesn't cost anything. Well, that's true, but you're there, if you really are into that series, you're going to end up paying because they're going to gimp you so bad that you're going to want to have all the X-Men, or you're going to want to have the best gun, or you're going to have
there
whatever.
There are so many things in that game. Like, there's silver you can collect.
Right.
You can collect gold. You can collect command points. There's shield points. Then there's energy. And then to play the special missions that come out around holiday time, like the Ghost Rider was Halloween, you got to collect a different amount of thing and have a number of those. Plus your energy.
It's like overload. Yes.
Yeah. It's too much. It gets crazy.
But, well, I mean, if that's going to draw people, I don't know how many people play that, but I mean, it's... I can't imagine you're the only one that's paying.
They've added... There were 8 chapters when I started. They added 2 chapters to the main story.
Right.
And they've had 3 or 4 Spec Ops missions since I started playing.
Right.
So obviously there's enough content and money flown in to pay these guys to keep developing new content, create new characters, new character moves and animations. It's a turn by turn strategy game, basically. Like, you select Thor, or it's Thor's turn to go, you select this move and on what character.
Right.
Or he can use an item to heal people. And then it goes next person. So it's fun. It's very basic, flashing, animated.
Real simple.
You know, real simple.
So do you find yourself more drawn to those kind of games than console games?
I'd much rather play a console game, but...
Because it seems like all you mostly play now is on your tablet and you don't... Like, Walking Dead... Well, you had a computer, but
like,
you could have got Walking Dead on console.
I got Walking Dead on my tablet because I was like, I'll probably play this more on my tablet, like on an airplane or on travel, than if I had bought it on the console. Because I know that I barely get in enough time now to play Assassin's Creed or, like, to start playing Max Payne 3 and stuff like that, because we don't have cable, so we use it to watch movies and stuff now more than ever. And so, like, my console time is limited. So, yeah, I'd if I could play that Facebook game on my tablet, I would play it a lot more, because I use my tablet a lot more than I do my laptop. And because where my laptop is at, like... when I come home from work, I sit down in front of my laptop because it's got that glossy screen on it. Then whatever's on my shirt, you know, I can see my reflection in my screen, and then I can't see my screen.
You should play topless.
On the brightness all the way.
Topless.
Even that, my white chest will reflect back. It won't work.
Your pasty chest.
My pasty white
glistening
chest.
Glistening in the window.
Will
the
ruin
girls.
The colors on
you hear this,
my
girls?
Laptop.
Drive by Brent's house for a free shot in the afternoon.
That's right. So
he's like the real life Twilight.
So if but it, since it's flash based,
I got you.
It'll never work, unfortunately. So yeah, I do find myself playing more like Walking Dead on the tablet. I was like, well, let me think. I'll buy it on my tablet. You know, and sure enough, I went on travel the week after and played on my tablet and beat 2 episodes.
Right.
And then, you know, I'll play more things more frequently, more often, like repeat on my tablet.
Right.
Than
well, that's something I'm actually really looking forward to as I upgrade my phone here. Seeing what kind of connectivity they have between console and mobile type gaming. But the same game, like a meta game for your cell phone,
mm-hmm.
that somehow ties into the console in some capacity. I have a tablet. It's not an iPad. It's just a knockoff Android version.
It's not a knockoff. It's an Android tablet.
Well, I mean, but it's separate. Not, it's like some brand. I don't know what brand. I don't know the brand. That's what I mean. It's some whatever. Some Android. I use it 99% to read comic books. That's pretty much all I do is comic books. Internet occasionally. But I would like to see what kind of tie-ins they have to console games as time goes on, because I'm a big console guy. I don't see myself ever giving up my TV and my surround sound for a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now certain games like Walking Dead, where it's kind of like...
Well, yeah, Walking Dead you can play on a tablet.
That was
but
basic, but... And I've
downloaded like shooters on there. Like I downloaded the Dead Space for iPad. That's very difficult to play with 2 thumbs and only... You can only, you know, you can
the
move...
Virtual screen. Right.
Virtual screen, so one is move and one
virtual
is look.
Controls.
And then you got to move your other thumb to press the shoot button.
Yeah.
You know, I downloaded Grand Theft Auto 3 on there, and I'm having to... That's not hard to play on the tablet. It's hard to play, period.
Yeah.
So I put that game away. I downloaded Max Payne from the first PlayStation or something like that. That was easy to play on a tablet, you know, because that's a port over. But the controls weren't crazy enough, like, since there was, like, an auto lock, I guess.
Oh,
so you aim and you shoot and you shoot the guy. But it's not a first person, it's a third person, so it's easier to play. But definitely, like, I wouldn't try and... There are first-person shooters on there, like Shadow Gun or something that's specifically
right.
developed for that.
Yeah.
I would think that's incredibly difficult to move and look and do all these things at the same time when really you could probably only put two fingers on a screen
true.
While you're playing it unless you got some dedicated screen holder. And even that would be weird because you'd twist your wrists differently to the way you're normally playing.
I understand.
You know what I mean?
Well, there's a lot of marrying between consoles and tablets. I know Razer's trying a hybrid type console that'll play computer games, and it's got built-in proprietary controllers on the side.
I saw that.
So there's definitely a marrying between the two, and it'll be interesting to see. I mean, unfortunately, I was going to buy one based solely for Assassin's Creed Liberation, but the PlayStation Vita kind of blows.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not a lot of games for it. It didn't really do what I think they wanted to. I don't want to say it's a failure. I don't know what the metrics need to be for that to happen, but I know Sony's not happy with it. Nintendo DS is still king. So there's a lot of willingness and eagerness to see what kind of console games or handheld games are out there, tablet
mm-hmm.
games are out there, but I think console's king, and I think it's going to be interesting as this next generation comes out to see what direction they ultimately want to
see,
take.
I'm more interested in stuff like if I wish Assassin's Creed 3 had done this with the Xbox
not suck.
Smart Glass.
Oh.
No, like stuff like put the mini map, take it off of my screen because that mini map is hard enough to read. Take it off of my screen and put it as an application.
Oh, so you could pinch and zoom it instead of hit
on my Smart Glass app
would,
or whatever to
that.
Pinch and zoom.
I would buy an iPhone.
Or if it was a $2 or $3 app purchase on top
yeah.
of buying the game,
yeah.
just for that, I would buy it because that would be so much helpful. And then if it could communicate through, I don't know what, somehow.
So the Wii U has...
So then I could select my waypoint on my fucking touchscreen, and then it would show up in my game that, oh, that's where you want to go. Even if there's like a 1 minute delay, I would be fine with that. If it had to go through the internet to some server and then back to my game around, rather than through my wireless network, I would be okay with that. I think that would be worth it.
So the Wii U
because
has
it is
kind
very
of
like that map on Assassin's Creed.
Oh,
3,
Assassin's Creed map blows.
So
a,
difficult to look at.
I know
at
we're picking on
Assassin's
Creed, but a lot of games are like that.
Right.
So Wii U has something very similar to that, and people aren't really embracing that.
Really? Huh.
But I will say,
I can see trying it out. Like, I guess for the Arkham City Wii U edition, basically instead of using your D-pad to select your gadgets and stuff,
yep,
they're all laid out, and you just punch in what gadget you want to use.
Do you think, though, you would want to take your eyes... Now, Assassin's Creed might be a little different because...
That's different because you have time to pause.
That's what I'm saying. So you've got to think when you add in other interfaces, it's taking your eyes and your hands off the controller and the TV screen.
That's different, I guess.
So now I'm playing... No, I know you're... I'm just saying that you're playing with the game. Oh, want to look at the map, put the controller down, pick up the tablet, punch it in, put the tablet down, pick up the controller.
Well, I mean, I can still hold a controller in my one hand and pause Connor and hide in a crowd or something and look over to the left on my iPad, or if I have it in front of me on like a table or something.
That's true.
And I can still pinch and zoom and you know, use my left hand to do whatever I want to do.
I guess what scares me is that I'm excited. I'm optimistic for what this technology can do. I guess I'm leery that it might be another way. I mean, you can make a map intuitive without making it difficult.
Yeah.
And there are some games that seem to have a better grasp of that than others.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just afraid that, as they say, all these other... You know, I mean, it's like, would you want me to buy two TVs, one for the map, one for the game? Not saying that, but you know what I mean? I'd almost say, you know what, suck it up, utilize what you have more. I got a 60-inch TV at my house. I can watch two TV shows side by side on it. You're telling me I can't see a map to play the game? Like, you need to fix that.
Like, that's one of the things that I have issues with. Like, I have a 42-inch, and I don't sit that far from it. But sometimes, in I forget which games, but even the text will be so small in the game, or even watching a Blu-ray.
Yep.
On the Blu-ray menu, the text is so small that it's hard to read. And I'm like, even if you were sitting closer to it, then it becomes pixelated, and now it's harder to read.
Right.
You know? And then what if you're watching it on a 27-inch in your room, if you're in a dorm room or something, you don't sit that far away from it,
right,
still hard to read. So I'm kind of wondering where they get this idea that, you know, so much screen real estate, so let's make the pixels, or let's make the text really small, or the map hard to read.
I know we're shitting on Assassin's Creed, so I'll pull my pants down.
That's the one that we talked about the most.
I'll tell you another one. That's another thing with the subtitles. When there's subtitles in the game, half the time you can't understand what they're saying, but you can't read the words because they don't put a back... They don't, like, make, like, a black box on the bottom of the subtitles, like, white on black.
Well, that's typical.
It's just words over the screen, and half the time, even just reading, I'm like, I can't read the word. I can't hear what he's saying.
That's typical. I turned off the subtitles for Walking Dead.
You did.
And listened to them, and that was fine.
If they speak clearly, it's fine, but a lot of times, and I understand it's true to the game, but, you know, like, Connor's English is okay, but some of his Indian friends have very broken English. Which I understand. I don't know why they don't just speak fully in native Indian or whatever their language is, but they speak in the...
That's what it was. You're a young Connor, and they're talking in little Indian language,
right?
And you can't understand them because you use a different language, and then you have to read what they're saying on the subtitles that are so small, and
you can't. Even if your screen is big enough, they're like white text over like a whitewater rapid. So like half the text is just lost in the water.
Right. And if, I remember talking to you and saying, making the argument that if I'm a fucking Indian and you're an Indian, then if we're speaking Indian to each other, then let's just make it English in the game so it's not to fucking confuse everybody.
Right.
I mean, I know that they translate the game into different languages. So what is the difference between 2 hours in the game, taking away subtitles and doing that voiceover versus doing the entire game, you know, if you're going to do it anyway?
And they can even make it, and especially...
Because I guarantee you, in France and stuff, in the French versions or the Spanish versions, that Connor is not going around yelling English and there's little Spanish subtitles anytime everybody yells something.
Right.
Like, come on.
Well, especially with Assassin's Creed, they do take a lot of... they use the animus in a way that they always... Like, they say, oh, Connor couldn't go there, so we're not going to draw that in. So we're going to have an invisible wall here. So you could easily do something specific to that game where maybe they start in Indian and then it cuts back to Desmond. He's like, what the hell? Like, oh, hold on, we could change that for you. Now they're going to speak English. You know, like, you could make it like a cute kind of, like a little pun in the game. And they're like, oh, okay.
Be like, oh, Connor never explored that area, so you can't go there.
Right.
Okay, I get that because it's not in my memory.
Yeah, and I'm not. And maybe, you know, Desmond gets frustrated. Like, why are they speaking Indian? They don't speak English. Oh, sure, no problem.
Yeah.
And I get they want to be true to it, but it doesn't take away. Like, when I'm playing a game.
They didn't do that in the past Assassin's Creed games. They were speaking, who knows what game language they were speaking in the first game. It probably wasn't English because you're in all these Middle Eastern cities. But they were yelling English when you were there in the game because you understood the language.
Right.
And then the same thing, you're in Italy for how many games? And they threw in a couple of Italian words there just to spice it up a little, and they all spoke in Italian accents.
Requiescat in pace.
Right. Requiescat in pace or whatever.
Yeah.
But they still spoke English, and you could understand what they were saying because you're the character. You should be able to understand what the other ones are saying.
I agree. Well, I don't know. There's a lot of good feedback, and I hope that as the criticism comes out, although it seems to be pure fanboy love for a lot of these games, I hope that as the criticism comes out going forward, maybe some of these games, you know. I mean, Assassin's Creed could have been so much better than it was if they had fixed some stuff.
One thing I'm kind of interested to see is Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Yes, that's...
They moved the release date back to August, which I'm bummed about. I'm hoping... Like, I liked Conviction, but I remember having a lot more, like, taking my time and setting things up and stuff like that in the past. Because I played all the Splinter Cell games, mostly on PC until I got a PS2 and played Double Agent, and then I played Conviction on the 360. But... To me, Conviction was too actiony. Everything was too easy.
I'm afraid they're losing their genre. That's not what that game is. You're absolutely right.
It was too easy to assign marks to targets and stuff. Well, I like that. That was cool. But most of the time, it was too much of a third-person shooter when that engine, that movement system and stuff is not made to move that way.
No, it's not. I noticed that. I noticed that replaying. The first time now going through Double Agent, I got it at GameStop for like a dollar. So I've been going through that, and I do notice it's very blocky and very slow. And even if you wanted to be full-blown like Commando Dude, you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because the game won't let you. Because it's just too... It's not meant for that. It's too blocky and slow, and it's meant to be more... You're meant to be stealthy, not get caught, take your time, sit in the shadows for 5 minutes, and then do your move, and be good, and be right, and don't get caught. But you're right. I don't know. A lot of these games, they blend together, and they probably see all the success of these first-person shooters and say, we'll just put Sam Fisher in a first-person shooter.
Right.
Well, that's not who Sam Fisher is. Yeah, he's getting a gunfight or two, but you're right. And, I mean, yeah, they tried to kind of tie it back with the marking system where they said, well, okay, once you use it, you have to go do it a stealth kill to get it back. But it was so easy to get stealth kills
because
every guard was like... Like, they purposely set up a room you go in. Some guard had his back to a door. Oh, how convenient. And there's 9 guards in there. And, I mean, within 2 seconds, you break a neck, reload, you take everybody out, and it's over. And it's like, That's not what Sam Fisher was.
You eliminated rooms too fast. And what I liked about Splinter Cell before was that, like, the thing that I'd missed the most in that Splinter Cell game was they took away your main gun. Your main gun that had so many options. Like, when you get into Double Agent later on.
XC-2000,
you got... You can modify it to be a sniper rifle. You can modify it to shoot a sticky grenade.
Cameras.
The sticky camera, the stun dart, the little round rubber ring that stuns them.
Yep.
So then you can run up and
rubber
take
bullets,
them out.
Yep. Right.
All that stuff is what I really enjoyed about the first couple games. And then with like Chaos Theory, they're like, here's a knife. So you can knife somebody. You can cut open tents and sneak in the back and kind of do all this other stuff. They took... Like Conviction, they took all that away and like streamlined it so much to make it an action game that it was no longer like a stealth game. And like even the, you know, you didn't get your fucking goggles until 3/4 away in that game. And that's the goggles is what Splinter Cell revolves around to me. The goggles, like
that was the trademark for years. Just that noise and the 3 green lights.
And the 3 green lights, like, you know,
that was synonymous with Sam.
What I didn't like. In Conviction, where they're like, here's your upgraded goggles. Like, they're fucking sonar.
You can look through walls.
Yeah. That's what thermal vision was for, and that's what night vision was for. I liked having the difference. I didn't like sonar, because half the time I would turn on the goggles in Conviction, look through the sonar, and see the guys, and then take them off, because you can't navigate around that map using sonar in that Conviction
game. If you did what I did, you'd turn them on, mark all the targets, turn them off, and there'd be an arrow. I am here, and you don't know where he is, and you pop.
That's not how the guys operate in the real field. You know, they don't have that technology.
Right.
Just give me back my night vision at the very least. Give me some fucking night vision. If you want to throw the sonar in instead of thermal, fine. But let me see some regular night vision goggles that I can use and utilize. That's what I hope. So I hope they bring back more of the stealth elements than the pure conviction. Where I like Sam Fisher, I like the character, the gameplay was fun, I enjoyed playing it. It wasn't classic Splinter Cell.
So that's your game, that's the one you're looking forward
that's
to
the most. One I'm looking forward to the most. Like Gears of War Judgment, I mean, I haven't seen
Injustice.
Injustice is it's not a storyline game. It's more of like a fun game. Like I'll buy it. You'll come over. We'll play it. Guarantee you. You know.
Forget
about
it.
That's more fun to play like with two people in the same room than it is online.
Yeah, I do burn out of fighting games very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because after you've done it once or twice, it's like.
Like that game, I'll keep, and then when people come over, I'll be like, you know, hey, let's bring out the wrestling game. We had fun with that. That'll be more fun with two people in the room because you're not, you know, having to split the screen and lose all your views and stuff that.
For me, I think it's probably the new Metal Gear.
Metal Gear. I've never played Metal Gear, I'm a Splinter Cell guy. I don't want to go into Metal Gear.
Splinter Cell guy. You could be both guys.
I don't want to be both.
Solid Snake.
Sam Fisher's got this cool voice, but
Solid Snake has a really cool voice. Yep, new. It's not Michael Ironside. New guy. Some new guy.
New guy. Oh well. I'm interested.
It'll be good, and I'm curious to see how that ties into the new releases of consoles, as you alluded that maybe.
Maybe
might not be enough time.
I would be fine if they push it back another year because I just got this one a couple years, you know, not that long ago. I haven't had it since the beginning, like you have. So you're
what
probably.
What if the big reveal is?
Are you ready for a new console?
My loins burn for an Xbox 720, 4, 3, whatever the hell you want to call it. I want it. After playing, I know we go back to it. I'm pulling my pants down again. But I really am pulling my pants down. after Assassin's Creed 3, how shitty it was. And how the random pop-ins would occur where... And I pick on Assassin's Creed 3, but there are a lot of other games. To me, Halo 4, the little bit I have played, I do like it. There are a lot of lighting tricks in there, and there are a lot of places where your draw distance is severely hampered because the console's, like, screaming. I mean, you're running a console that's, like, 7 years old trying to push out cutting-edge graphics, and it's just...
Well, it's pretty clear about that, too, because they had to push the multiplayer and the single player on different discs and still have you install the multiplayer disc in order to even access it. Like, to me, if I'm going to play multiplayer and you give me a separate disc, like, just let it run on that disc, honestly. I didn't understand the install thing.
Well, the system is definitely on its last legs. I still thoroughly enjoy it. I have found, actually, and maybe just thinking about this now, I do play way more arcade games on Xbox Live Arcade than I do console games.
Mm-hmm.
I play a lot of Spelunky. I play a lot of Minecraft. I play a lot of Mark of the Ninja, Double Dragon, Geometry Wars. I'm playing a ton of those games. I find myself less and less being drawn into these new epic adventure-y type games simply because the graphics just – they're not there anymore. So I am – dying for something new.
See, I think
I can't wait.
Like you were saying, like I would probably like I play a lot of games on my tablet rather than my phone.
Right.
But I do spend a lot of time playing on those games, and I guess that's why I don't jump up and down to try an arcade game on my 360. Because for me, those simplified graphics games, those are for my tablet, for my phone, and I want to see the full presentation of HD. You know, even though it's only 720p, you can't really make a difference. But I want to see the full presentation on my console and save my console for a rich experience. And like I don't want to, in my mind, I don't want to associate my console, how much money I shut out for that thing and how much money I spend on those games and stuff for a downgraded experience, unless I want to buy like, you know, Sonic or something like that. But even still, there's
like
stuff on
back.
I bought Sonic on the iPad and I play that and I get a little kick out of it and then I put it away and then I'm like, I want to see something really cool, and then I'll go jump on Halo or
Assassin's Creed. I guess what draws me into the Xbox now with all these points is the Bing reward program that I told you about.
Right, yeah.
And they're like puking points at me. And I've gone on playxbla.com, playxboxlivearcade.com. And I've won 3 or 4 caption contests and I've gotten free games from that. So I feel like almost arcade is like I'm getting – there's so many freebies and stuff now. And the games are cheap, even if you want to go out and buy them like $5.
Mm-hmm.
So – I guess if I had a higher-end tablet, maybe I would feel the same way you do, but I'm such an achievement whore that, like, if I play a game that's not on Xbox, I'm like, oh, I'm not getting achievements.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. I don't know. It's like a obsession I have, but I don't know. I don't mind it. I like the refined controls. I mean, I guess I'm just a console guy. I like holding a controller in my hand.
I don't mind holding a controller. You know,
it's
I'm
hard,
just saying.
I guess it's hard to play. A lot of those tablet games, you could
put a game like Spelunky. You could make that like they could the Xbox, not the Xbox phone, but the Windows 8 phones that are coming out that you're looking at.
Right.
Those types of games they could make to run on that phone.
It was initially a computer game when it came out.
You know, it could run on that phone, no problem. Or the Xbox, not the Xbox, but on the new Windows 8 tablet slates and
the
stuff
Surface,
like that.
Yeah.
The Surface, though, I think they would get a lot more hype or whatever if those things could run the live arcade games rather than having a different, you know, rather than just another iteration of Angry Birds.
True.
And stuff everybody else has. I think that would be the new draw to that software system. You know, be a Windows guy, everything.
Yeah.
Because it runs into your Xbox and you can play your live
right.
arcade games on your phone or on your Windows 8 slate or on your PC.
Yeah.
On your PC. I think, you know, get a lot more cross-platform play. And
well, you're hearing this, Sprint. Get your shit together. I'm upgrading in April. There's no Windows phones available right now. Make it work, and I'll buy it. Right?
I doubt it. If they didn't think about that already
with
Windows 8, then I don't know that it's going to happen, honestly.
Have faith.
And Windows doesn't upgrade their phones. Like, if you bought a Windows 7 phone, you didn't get a Windows 8 phone when the Windows 8 came out.
Right.
Like, Android, you'll get as much Android updates as that hardware will allow. Where Windows, like, you don't get the next Windows update unless you buy a new phone.
That's true.
That's the way they operate. So, I don't know.
I'm excited.
Excited. Anyway, I think that's enough for now. Signing out. It's Brent Cassina.
Peace, Brent Cassina.
Who are you?
Jim.
Jim what?
Your master.
You gotta sign out.
Oh, signing out. This is Jim Afanas.
All right. Well, that trumps mine, but whatever. He's still learning. Yes, say adios.
And we'll be in a hotel room next week in Norfolk, sweating and eating Oreos and laughing at Double Dragon.
Double Dragon.
Double Dragon.
You'll watch me play Mark of the Ninja some more.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
I know no one listens, but if they do, here's the user feedback question. Would you A, go over to your friend's house and have fun playing WWE 12, laughing as the Power Rangers?
Okay, bring WWE 12.
Quiet.
Bring Forza.
This is Jim's Gems segment. You have to be quiet.
Jim's Gems.
Okay, here's your poll question of the year until we do another one.
We already signed out. How can you add
more? We're signing in. Bonus question. Bonus podcast. This is on the highlight blooper reel. Would you rather play WWE 12 with your friend, having fun laughing as the Incredible Hulk and Mario beat the shit out of Batista and CM Punk? Or would you rather watch your friend play Mark of the Ninja like an asshole for 2 hours and suck horribly at it?
I'd rather my friend watch me play Mark of the Ninja.
Send questions or comics to Brent, and that's it. I'm out.
All right, we're done. Adios.
See, we should put that on a website with a counter and actually.